All right, good morning, everybody. So today I'll be talking about some management zone-based research that we've done looking at variable rate nitrogen. This was a regional study conducted with the University of Nebraska, where I'm at, Colorado State University with Raj Khosla, and Oklahoma State University with Brian Arnall. So today I'll just be talking about the Nebraska results of this study that we've done. So traditionally, producers apply farm inputs at a uniform rate across the given field. But due to inherent spatial variability, not all of these areas require the same amount of inputs. And because these inputs are relatively inexpensive, especially with nitrogen, farmers often apply nitrogen at a level that is adequate throughout the entire field. So what this does, it creates areas in the field where we're getting sufficient nitrogen, areas we're getting excess nitrogen, and areas where we're getting insufficient nitrogen. So one way we can increase the efficiency of these nitrogen inputs is through variable rate management zones. And then within these management zones, we can do variable rate nitrogen application as well. Now this method has been proven to be effective in dealing with spatial variability in the field. But how does this work in areas where we have extreme variability? So here's such a case. This is the University of Nebraska Water Field Laboratory. This is located in Brule, Nebraska, which is western Nebraska. We're about 15 or 20 miles from the Colorado border. We are in a semi-arid environment. We get about 20 inches of precipitation here annually. Because of that, to maximize our yields, we do use irrigation. This particular field is in continuous corn and has been for at least the last 10 years. This is just a Google Earth image, but you can see we've got an extreme amount of variability in this field through soil types. Now, what you can see is just north of the field here is the Platte River. So at some point in time, we believe that a tributary of the river rolled right through this field. And I've got a topography map here I'll show in a second. But right through the middle of this field is a low-lying area where we have very shallow soils. And then up on the ridges on the sides of the field, we have very deep soils. So if we think of landscape position and how that might affect our management zones, which traditionally we might think of the lower areas as being the higher yielding areas because we get deposition of soils in those areas, and the side slope areas might be the least productive areas. But for this field, everything's opposite. The low-lying areas are the lowest producing parts of the field. The higher areas are the highest producing parts of the field because of that variability that we get. And our yield variations in this field can be anywhere from about 300 bushels per acre up here to about 40 bushels per acre in the center of the field. So extreme variability. I've been working on this field for about 8 years trying to look at water and nitrogen interactions. And this is, in my opinion, a worst-case scenario of a place to conduct that kind of research. It's exceptionally complicated. And if we can figure things out in this field, we can figure them out anywhere. But I kind of took a step back from that, and we just said, well, let's just look at management zones. Can we use management zones to help us figure out some variable rate nitrogen applications in a field that's this complicated? So here's the topography. Again, so this area through the middle here is a low-lying area. That's the lowest yielding. This area right here, highest area, that's the highest yielding. So where we can see sometimes the 300 bushels per acre. And then over here in this area, it's similar to this area. It doesn't yield quite as high through there. But then in this area here, we're probably down in more of the 150 bushel per acre range due to the amount of variability. Now we've taken some EC measurements of this field. You can see the density of them are much higher in the south half. This is where we've done the majority of our research. That's why we've done a higher level of sampling here. But you can see the trends kind of continue in the north half of the field as well. And here's where we have the really shallow soils, in some cases 6 to 8 inches deep before you hit essentially pea gravel. So at some point, tributary of the Platte River had come through there at some point. So again, we started to look at some management zones in here, and for 2014 and 2015, we used a landscape position approach. So essentially, we knew the higher yielding areas of the field in the higher and deeper soils. We knew the lower yielding parts of the field in the shallower soils. We took some yield maps and tried to delineate the zones based on the landscape position and our knowledge of the field. Then within each of these zones, we put down nitrogen rates of 0, 75, 150, and 225 kilograms per hectare. And then we also had a sensor-based application treatment, which was using a Green Seeker sensor, it's a crop circle sensor, where we used the sensor to determine, based on a reference strip, how much nitrogen to apply at about the V12 growth stage. In the 2016 season, for reasons that I'll get into here in a second, we decided to change our management zone delineation approach, and in this case, we used the EC map that I just showed you a little bit ago, and we decided to simplify things a little bit. In this case, we just wanted to delineate a high management zone and a low management zone, whereas in 2014 and 2015, we did a high, medium, and low management zone. And then we just looked at two rates at the in 2016. We went back to just a uniform rate, which was about 180 kilograms per hectare, and that measurement was taken based on our knowledge of the field and the past yields that we had received there. And then we again did a crop circle sensor-based application within these two management zones as well. So again, our overall goal was to determine if current management zone delineation and variable rate nitrogen methods are a viable option on a highly variable field. Okay, so results. So this was 2014. These are the management zone delineations. Again, high, medium, and low potential productivity. And here we have our yields. Now, we did not see any significant differences across any of the management zone delineations that we had in 2014. However, we did see a nice trend based on, you know, high, medium, and low. So we thought we were on to something here. But again, no significant differences, again, due to the large amount of variability that we had within each of the management zones. Here is the yields based on nitrogen application rate in 2014. This was averaged over all of the management zones. And here we did see significant differences in yield with our 225-pound kilogram per hectare nitrogen rate yielding the highest, and then our sensor 75 and 150 rates yielding about the same, and our lowest was the 0. So again, looks like we're kind of on to something here. If we look at the economic optimum return, obviously the 75 was the best. The yields we got over an increased amount of nitrogen did not offset the costs. So really for that year, our 75 kilogram per nitrogen rate would have been the best one to apply. For the sensor, we applied about 70 pounds at emergence, and then we applied about another 65 to 70 pounds. So this rate was actually right around 135 kilograms per hectare in 2014. If we look at the management zone by nitrogen results for 2014, we see no significant differences in the interaction. And if we kind of look through here, these just kind of bump around. In some cases, we see the trends that we would expect to see, and in other cases, the low yielded as well or better as the medium, et cetera. So things just kind of bounced around, and this kind of shows the amount of variability we have for 2014. However, we did think we were onto something for 2014, so we repeated the results or the experiment for 2015. And again, we found no significant differences in the management zones. However, now our medium and low trend reversed itself. So while doing the same things in 2015, we found that, again, we were doing a pretty good job of delineating the high versus the medium and low, but again, there's no significant differences here due to the sheer amount of variability that we had in the field. So again, here are the nitrogen application results. So in this year, the 150 and 225 treatments yielded the highest. Again, the sensor and the 75 kilogram per hectare rate were intermediate in the middle, and our 0 was our lowest. And again, our economic would be at this 75. For our sensor base, we were still at that same rate of about 135 kilograms per hectare in 2015. And then kind of the same results here when we looked at the management zone versus nitrogen interaction. Again, the numbers just kind of bounce around, and there was no significant difference in the interaction for 2015. So looking at this, we decided, well, our results for 2015 weren't near as encouraging as they were for 2014. So we decided to bring in some further technology and better ways to kind of figure out the variability we have in the field, and we use the EC sensor to help us do that. And For our EC-based results, again, for 2016, we just had a high and a low zone, and we just had a uniform application rate and a sensor-based rate. So for our, the good news for 2016 is that we had a significant difference between our zones in 2016 as compared to 14 and 15. However, it was the opposite of what we expected. What we delineated as our high zone yielded significantly less than what we delineated as our low zone. So this was kind of perplexing to us. If we looked at the nitrogen by zone, again, for 2016, we had no significant differences between our uniform rate, our sensor rate, or our EC high and EC low zones. But again, our high zone in both cases yielded less than, our low zone yielded higher than our high zone in both cases, although there was no significant differences there. And then for our nitrogen rates, we saw no significant difference between the uniform application rate and the sensor-based rate. So what we are learning there, though, is that we're applying significantly less nitrogen by using the sensor, and we are getting the same overall yields that we got with the uniform. So this is my take-home message for this field, is that really in the extreme variability of this field, the best methodology we've come up with to help us determine how much nitrogen to apply is with the sensor, the crop canopy sensor. So just some conclusions. Applying management zones on and variable rate into a highly variable field is challenging, very challenging, I would say, and it can and does change from year to year. And what we've really started to think and attribute this to is the vertical variability we have in this field. So we looked at the bare soil, we looked at the EC, but the EC is still only getting us to a depth of, perhaps 30 inches. And we've taken a lot of neutron readings in this field, so we've done a lot of 6-foot cores, and we've looked at the vertical variability in this field, and it's as extreme as the horizontal variability. We can pop a hole right there, pop a hole 5 feet away from it, and they are completely different profiles. So we're just not able to account for that vertical variability, and we think that's what's really causing us the main issues in this field. And that's where the crop canopy sensors can actually help us, because at least then we're looking at the variability in the crop itself, and we can use that as a corollary for what the medium the crop is growing in that can give us kind of an idea of how much N to apply. So we're moving forward on this field, really focusing on sensors. We're looking at any new technology we can to try to help us map that variability, but in a highly variable system like this, it's just very complicated. And I always tell people it is a career project. So, okay, so with that, any questions if we have time?